space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is it? kilowatts? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Doc, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What'd you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
sidle up this bit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Well, this better be the best tasting beer in the world. You got lucky.
Thank you. 7654321 0. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. Sounds like somebody's in the background there in the shower there. Who's got their mic on? Alrighty then. Well, I guess I'll have to tolerate for a second. There we go. Yay! Alright, well, I put a couple videos up inside there in the chat room over there on Shaziz Radio and awakeradio.com, and apparently, Jeremy and Ryan are, and a few of their friends are putting on a Slayer Exciter challenge. I'm going to go ahead and play this video and see if I can get it to come through. And so, with that said, let's see if we can do this without breaking anything.
What's going on? So, SEC Challenge 2014 is happening. Some more challenges I wanted to have, just try to push the wires limits of something like this slider over here. It's called the SEC Challenge. You can use anything like a Tesla coil. You can use a giant sideways pancake, 8 feet wide if you want. Whatever you want. Get creative, think of some stuff. All we're looking for is a true wireless transfer from a source tower to a pickup tower. And I want you all to like something like a little fluorescent tube. A compact fluorescent. That's not as easy to light. These are a lot easier, 4 foot to even easier to light. Lots of tricks out there. Lots of guys have been looking at this for years. And there's a ton of information. Who am I to hold this contest? I'm nobody. Just the guy that just started playing with this and happened to be talking to a few people who got excited about it. So I figured, why not? Let's all get on the same page. Mr. Abrams from Abrams Lab, Tesla Arc, is going to be coming on board as a judge, I believe. And there's still lots of other openings. Anyone else doesn't want to compete? Wants to just look over videos and stuff like that, help me sort through anything that's going to come in? By all means, drop me a line. The prize package is going to be below in this description, and it's changing almost every day. We're adding stuff, and so I'm just going to keep updating that and try to keep that as current as I can. Any official entries, put them in the link in the comment section for this video as well. It's going to be going until October 15th, so all you have to do is say something like, here's my SEC Challenge 2014 video, and put a link. You can link your videos right in the comment section now, and we'll make sure to go over that. We'll be putting on, I'll be setting up a forum as well to go over a bunch of prizes and to talk about people's videos. Maybe you don't want to talk in the comment section. Russ Grease, RWG Research, and I'm not even many, I don't even know the guy's credentials now. He's got such a long list after, he's like a professor. And he's going to be one of his workbenches at his forum, so I'm going to be using that. So thank you, Russ, and yeah, good luck to everyone. I'm kind of in a rush, sorry, this video is a little bit sporadic, but if you have any questions, leave them in the comment section. Get a hold of me on Google+, or YouTube. I'm there pretty much every day checking things out, so peace out, and good luck. Cheers.
Yeehaw! So, with that said there, yeah, they're having a challenge over there for the Slayer Cider, That's one of them radio bloopers live on air. It was on a playlist, and they wanted to play everything. Anyway, for those of you out there in radio land that's not familiar what a Slayer Exciter is, it's simply a transistor, sometimes a diode, a resistor. I got the diagrams up here on Shaziz Radio somewhere. I'll have to throw a link into the chat room over there. But anyway, it's a wireless energy transfer little circuit there that they kind of hook it up almost like a Tesla coil, but it's not exactly the same in how it functions. Pretty close. And so go over there and take a look, and if you like all their channels, subscribe to them. It's, there's some good folks. So how you guys doing over there? We got Muddy and Steve and... doggone it, Raymond. Wait up.
I didn't want to jump up and chip a tooth.
Oh yeah, well,
life is good, bud. Just kind of wonder how the poor chickens are getting along today. Doing the same thing I'm doing, probably.
Speaking of chickens, I like that deal you had on your show with Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, I came across the video with all his comments on there. I spent about 2 hours separating them and recording them separate, putting them on there. I kind of had a ball with it. And then I stole a bunch of songs from my wife and figured I'd play those mostly. And kind of did a different show. I kind of enjoyed it myself.
So what do you think about this Slayer Exciter? You've had a little bit of experience with it. I don't know if necessarily you built one, but you know how the circuit works and everything. You got any ideas on that particular circuit?
Oh, yeah. It's so versatile. I mean, you can do just about anything with it. You got five bolts. You can come out of a sine generator and get any frequency out of it you want, and it'll still put out just as strong, or you can have it cycle as a as an oscillator itself off the off the start of the coil, or you could run a DC motor and get your pulse out of that, because the commutator and brushes make a spark across there and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. I'm thinking on a few different terms of playing with it. I want to see what I can get to oscillate it other than what I've seen. I'd like to see if I can get into the higher frequency and see what water vibrates at. Just all depends. It's pretty easy. Basically, all it does is take your full current for a pulse through your primary. And when it puts that pulse in, you're going to get one out the secondary, which is much higher voltage. But you're putting a lot of current. It's a total of voltage and current on your primary for the power, as to what kind of power you're going to get out your secondary.
Well, I'll tell you.
And that's going to come out in high voltage, so it'll be lower amps and thinner wire. So it's pretty cool. I like the way it works.
I'll tell you why I'm fascinated with the Slayer Exciter, and you hit the key term was frequencies, and I got a lot of theories on frequencies, and maybe they kind of buck the system of the mainstream, but either way, I'm going to keep on going because I believe in it. It's kind of interesting how you could take a normal fluorescent bulb and put it up next to a Tesla coil, and you can light it up, and you can do the same with the Slayer Exciter. However, when I was running my test with that thing, I tried to energize argon gas with it, and I found out that it's not as easy to do as it is with the frequency that's actually coming off a Tesla coil. So that tells me that I'm pretty much on the right track. I'm holding in my hand a tuning fork that is at 329.6 hertz. It's actually an E on the piano. They use these things to tune pianos with, and these tuning forks are pretty doggone impressive if you never messed around with them. I've got several different ones here that I'm messing around with, but there's a thing called sympathetic resonance. And matter of fact, while I was at the music store and I was talking to the lady asking her about these tuning forks, I told her I wanted some cheaply made ones, and she said, well, we don't really make any that are cheaply made. And what I was trying to say was I wanted one that was a ferrous metal in it instead of being aluminum like these other tuning forks that I have. But anyway, when I told her what I was going to do with these things, and I told her about sympathetic resonance, she already knew what I was talking about, because she says they have that problem in pianos sometimes that you'll get one key to ring sympathetically whenever you hit the other key, and I don't know how they go about fixing that, but it's something I want to do. Because if you can take two tuning forks and you ring one of them, the sympathetic resonance that we're talking about is that the other one will, because it's on the same frequency, will start to vibrate. And you can stop one and the other one will still be going, then you can let your hand off and then the other one will start back up again. And so with that said, there's a couple patents out there that are actually doing similar to what I'm talking about, and I need to put some links on the website for that, but I believe that frequency is going to be the key in the newest version of alternative energy, such as electricity, different form of how we use it. Steve put in there, have heard of the 432 hertz tuning? No. But anyway, I kind of sound like I'm babbling here, but it's just like a radio station, you know. If you're all those stations, all those frequencies are there. You can only hear them until you're tuned into that exact frequency. And so I got this crazy idea how we could actually get down to the actual frequency of the atom itself, or even the electron, if you go by the electron theory, and get that thing to resonate with itself, and then resonate with the one in line, and so on and so forth, to actually create the current flow that we would normally get from a brute force magnetic field. You guys follow me so far?
Yep.
And so, if we... Go ahead, Raymond.
I said, I'm all over with you completely. I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, if indeed we could actually do that, then you could, essentially, it doesn't matter how many tuning forks that you have. If they're all the same frequency, you ring one of them, the rest of them are going to ring because of the waveform around there. I also found out that some of these smaller ones, there has to be something in the decibel range that has to do with whether or not they will actually ring, because when I first got these are kind of small, and I actually had to get them really close together before they would actually ring with each other. And then the ones that I've seen in all the videos where they were doing the test for science for sympathetic resonance were like a lot larger. Well, then I took and recorded with sound recorder on Windows as I tapped that thing, and then I hit it towards the microphone. I recorded that same tone, and I was able to get that thing to resonate using the tone that I just recorded. And so, you know, with that said, you know, there's going to be some sort of thing to add in there that's going to have to do with the volume, or, you know, you understand what I'm saying, the decibel level of that that tone.
Yes, completely.
Chiz, question for you, mate.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does a tuning fork work in a vacuum?
I think it probably would, but I did a little test yesterday with it in a tube, and audibly, whenever I had it on the outside of the tube where the tuning fork was just on the outside and I had the other end up to my ear, I could hear it. But when I started to put that tuning fork inside the tube, it had something to do with, I'm guessing, the sound waves bouncing off the inside of that tube back on that fork that actually quieted it down where I couldn't hear it anymore.
Let me inject something there that on Steve's question. The tuning fork, yes, it will operate in a vacuum, but you would not be able to hear it. The vibrations of the fork would still be there, but there would be no sound, there would be no transference of that sound.
Therefore, it would ring longer.
Well, that explains a lot. And if that's the case, if it'll ring longer, I'm thinking if you're at the other end of that vacuum, you had the exact tuner on there, you know, once you got it started. See, everybody's looking for 0 point or over unity or whatever, you know. I'm just looking for, like, if you can extend the life of a battery, heck, even a quarter more than what's going on right now, I think you're making a step forward. What do you think?
Shaziz, if you put two tuning forks exactly the same frequency in a vacuum and you plucked one and caused it to vibrate, it would not cause the other to vibrate. The only reason the other vibrates is because the vibrations in the air affect it.
Or the vibrations through its mounting.
It
might get a little of that, but it's not going to be real strong.
Okay, basically what you guys are saying then, there would have to be some sort of atmosphere inside there. What about argon gas or any kind of, you know, noble gas or whatever?
Argon.
It might not need some kind of gas in there. Here's my point. You can take a brass rod and measure it to length and then put a weak spot in it, you know, kind of like sharpen it like a pencil a little bit toward where it doesn't come down to a point, it's still attached to that base piece on the end. And you mount that in this steel block in the bottom of a mantle clock. Now the case of the clock will resonate and you hear it much, much louder, kind of like the RCA Victrolas that had the needle on the cylinder or on the disc, and that big horn, you could hear it all the way across the room, enough for people to dance and have a party. I mean, it's pretty loud. It depends on how much weight. See, those cases, they're pretty much built like the out of the same kind of wood and treatment that they do on guitars to make them resonate and make them real lightweight and hard. But if you had a heavy tube or something, yeah, it might feel enough of it and the vibration through the bottom, and seeing as it's in phase with the other one, I'm pretty sure it might take a minute, the other one would.
if you take a tuning fork and pluck it, and you hold it up to your ear, you can hear it. But if you take that same tuning fork and you pluck it, if you put the base of that tuning fork in the cheekbone or your skull close to your ear, then the transference of the sound will vibrate through the bone and excite your eardrum, and you'll hear it even better.
Yeah, it might even hear it inside your head, kind of.
I also noticed that I didn't even have to hit that tuning fork, that there was enough disturbance in the air going along that if you listen really closely, you could still hear that tone going on. I mean, it was actually vibrating, whether it be from me holding it in my hand actually causing, but there was a minute vibration in there. I'm just thinking it's worth a second look. Now, is this going to be the holy grail of free energy? I have no idea. I just think that it's worth a second look because of that sympathetic resonance. As far as wireless energy transfer, if you could actually get that vibration to go from one tower to one tower, you see where I'm coming from?
Well, the magnetics, definitely. As a matter of fact, if you put a magnet inside one of the coils and had it about three turns of wire on that tuning fork and three turns of wire on the other tuning fork and put them next to a magnet, in a vacuum, you'd have good resonance. But I still think even though the case is vibrating but not very loud where you can hear it, I think the second tuning fork all by itself will just like... it'll pick up the resonance and start vibrating, kind of like Tesla's earthquake machine. That little 5-pound weight can knock a whole building. I think the resonance will build.
Well, here's something that's important.
Kind of like when you're on a swing, you know, you pump your feet, and each time you go a little bit higher, a little more of a push, a little more of a push. So between each cycle, it's getting just a little bit more of a push. And through the case, I don't care how heavy it is, I think the second fork will catch up.
Here's something that's important to factor in to why I think this is interesting, is that me and my buddy Jim were talking about this the other day, is that the difference between the energy that's being transferred via sound is different than the energy being transferred magnetically, because the sound waves won't couple with each other like a magnetic field. And so essentially, you know, when you bang that tuning fork on there and that wave is spreading out, my friend even seems to think that it's probably going to be closest to over unity as anything he's seen just yet, because of that fact that you're not getting this magnetically coupling back, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Okay, she says, you did a dip with a nail, and you hit pretty square on the head, but you dipped a little tiny bit off-center with your argon gas and your tuning fork. Now, think about this a minute. The transference of the sound is through the air. If you use argon gas, it's going to transfer a lot faster and a lot better and a lot stronger, because the argon gas is heavier and thicker, larger molecule. But at the same time, water transfers sound better, or liquid, than air. But if you take that tuning fork and you smack it and you place it in water, it's going to kill the tuning fork. The same with as any gas that you put a tuning fork in. If you put it in a vacuum, for example, it's going to sit there and it's going to vibrate for a much, much longer period of time. But if you put it in air, it's going to vibrate really good, but it's going to slow down because it's actually moving air molecules. You put it in argon gas, the molecules are heavier, it's going to vibrate really strong. I mean, it's going to put out a lot of sound, but for a much shorter period of time, like in water.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay, so I just want to make that clear. But you had a good idea with your argon gas.
Well, I'm just kind of throwing some things out there on the table, because, you know, actually this is kind of new technology to me, but it's not necessarily new technology to a lot of people out there, because it's... Actually, Steven's been putting a lot of good links down there in the Shaziz chat room there about things that he's seen. And we all know about Tesla's earthquake machine and different things like that. I just, looking at all different directions for wireless energy and, you know, a different way. When you hit those two tuning forks, the energy that's being transmitted from one to the other, you could actually transmit sound on top of sound if you wanted to, just like a carrier wave as far as I'm concerned.
Let me inject this. You said something about magnetics and sound waves and so forth. Magnetics, a vacuum, has no effect whatsoever.
Well, there's all kinds of potential. That's what everybody's doing right there, is trying to get things to resonate with each other to try to get the extend the range of where a Tesla coil can go, or, you know, like what I'm talking about, doing it via sound or whatever. But
what about taking a magnetic force to start one tuning fork in a vacuum? However, that tuning fork is also magnetic. Therefore, the magnetics of the movement of that one tuning fork would transfer through a vacuum to another tuning fork.
Well, I also don't think it would really take that much much electricity to actually get it started. If you've ever looked at the old fish tank air pumps, how they work, they got a coil, and as the AC current's fluctuating through there, it's causing these magnets to vibrate back and forth, pushing up and down on a diaphragm, which actually pushes the air into your fish tank. And I think the same thing could apply to a tuning fork, you know, just to get it started, and then once it resonates, and then you'd only have to use it like, say, a pulse motor, where you only hit it with some energy once in a while. And there's also a possibility that if the energy is minuscule enough that you could feed off of, you know, a little bit off of what you're producing on the opposite end to actually keep that vibration going, because all you'd have to do is just every once in a while reach out there and tap it.
Here's another thing too, Scott, well, I don't know, if you've got with that other electronic thing y'all were talking about, if you get your frequency of your pulse of electricity exactly the same as your tuning fork, it would work 150 times better.
Well, and that's where I was trying to get with this thing with that slider. I would love to know what the exact frequency range of that energy that's coming out of that Slayer exciter, because it's obviously not the same frequency as what's coming off of your average Tesla coil. But
that's the thing that I misunderstood Scott, but the way he was describing it, with a little bit of finesse, you can actually adjust it and get frequency like exactly what you want.
Well, and I think he's right on that as well. It may be something as simple as a variable capacitor changing that out. I'm going to try to run some tests. I talked to Jeremy a little bit in a chat about it, and I'm going to try to put some different styles of antennas on there, both AM and FM, style, like old CB antennas. They got a little bitty deal where you can actually adjust the antenna up and down to some extent. Remember the old SWR meters?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you could have, be able to adjust it up and down to some extent and actually kind of change the frequency. But I actually think that Slayer exciter is really close to a radio transmitter. And so I'm trying to figure out what range it's actually in. I would love to figure out the actual frequency range that it's in. But if we could do it like Muddy was talking about, to where you could scan multiple frequencies, that would be the key right there.
You know, what you just said, taking an antenna and adjusting it up and down to change the frequency, if you took a piece of spring steel, flat bar spring steel, and hung it upside down, for example, I try to do everything in layman's terms, and you fasten the end of it, and then you hit it with just pumping with your fingers so it vibrates back, really slow. Then you take your two fingers on it and just move them down, and then we're shortened the pivot point, and you see it goes faster and faster and faster until it finally gets it down to where it stopped. That's what you're talking about with that type of antenna that you went up and down, it changes the actual frequency.
Yeah. But I think
so our listeners can understand what we're talking about.
I think the potential of that little circuit I think there's a whole lot more there than just lighting up some fluorescent bulbs. I honestly believe that. And I believe that maybe the two in conjunction with, the Slayer Exciter. I've watched some of these videos with the Corona motors and how you actually get some motion going out of the top load of those things. They actually have wires or stuff that are spinning around or whatever. Now imagine if you could send that same energy through that tuning fork and actually send two types of energy at one time. And you could, almost like a telegraph, tap out a message and send it over to the other side and get real-time data on the other coil. See where I'm coming from?
Yep.
So it's fascinating for research. So if anybody out there is interested in electronics and Tesla coils and stuff like that, check out that Slayer Exciter and that challenge that these guys are doing. They're trying to see who can transmit the furthest. And I got a feeling the guy that puts one of those to an antenna is going to get farther than the other one. So those coils are essentially an antenna. That's basically what the secondary is on a Tesla coil, is an antenna.
Well, let's figure it out this way. If you got a three-element Yagi, which consists of the driven element, one side of that element is one quarter of a wavelength long to the frequency that you use, and the other side of the driven element is also one quarter of a wavelength long, making a full half wave. 0.2 wavelength from that going forward, you make one that is 5% smaller than the half wave, and it can be grounded to the boom and all that stuff. And 0.21 to 0.23 wavelength back, you'll have another half wavelength that is 5% larger than the driven element. And all of your frequency will go in one direction and be polarized.
Is anybody in the chat room?
Which chat room?
Shaziz Radio chat room?
Can
you read out Stephen Gibbons' comment down there?
Can you hear the difference? 432 Hertz Chamber Orchestra. And Steve, I was on the same page as you. I spent a lot of time in choirs. If you go into a church, it's specifically designed to reflect sound.
Right.
Think about that. An acoustic chamber is designed to retain the sound waves so they're not lost or absorbed, but reflected back at a particular angle.
Yeah, see, now that's a pretty good key right there. Can you go one comment back, too?
As we look at the six original solfeggio frequencies using the Pythagorean method, we find the base or root vibrational numbers are 3, 6, and 9. Nikola Tesla tells us, and I quote, "If only you knew the magnificence of the 3, 6, and 9, then you will have the key to the universe." And he's given a link there, and I'll read it out. www.somagenetics.com/forgotten_in_time.php. If you can't find it from that, then give your computer back.
Well, I just think that sound frequencies, there's a whole lot to be said there, and I think there was a whole lot that was done in a lot of different old societies, maybe all the way back to the Egyptians or even further than that, and with Ed Lieg Scanlon's work that he was doing, somehow or another, these folks were able to do some really amazing things and move some really heavy rocks around, and if you've ever messed around with anything that vibrates, like remember the old football games that they used to have these little guys on there, and they never would stay standing up, but you'd try to vibrate your football down to the other deal and get a touchdown or whatever. You're actually getting some work done out of that vibration there. And,
well, Shaziz.
Yeah.
When an opera singer breaks the glass with her voice, is it harmony or disharmony?
Ha! Well, I guess it could go either way. It might be an insult, because I think if I started singing at a high key like that, I'd break some glass too, probably some eardrums as well.
But is it harmonics with the structure of the glass? or is it a disharmony with the structure of the glass that breaks it?
Well,
harmony.
I think it causes it to resonate so much that the structure of the glass can't withstand it. I mean, it's kind of like feedback, you know, on guitar. If you put your guitar amplifier too close to the amplifier and allow that feedback to continuously keep on back and forth, it will literally destroy that amplifier. And that's because I think it was kind of like, remember when one of you guys is kind of touched
especially
on...
Especially if you're in a room that's tuned to that frequency.
About the, kind of like that old boy on the swing thing with the coil whenever you get it started. And I know Raymond knows what I'm talking about because he's lifting heavy stuff with the... basically just his finger, and once you get it started, it doesn't take as much to keep it going. You see where I'm coming from?
Very little.
Yeah, and then if you let it go too long like that, it builds up so much energy that it literally destroys itself.
The thing is, you have to match it at a certain point. Otherwise, like you said, if you keep adding a plus, then eventually you reach a limit to where you've exceeded your strength of your actual material.
Yeah.
The secret to busting a glass by singing is basically knowing what the sound, I guess what the tone of the sound frequency is. They have to sing it loud, and they have to be perfectly on pitch.
Well, once again, that brings in the decibel range there again, because that's what I was talking about with those two tuning forks. Because of the type of metal that it was made, I had to raise the decibel level up, and that's going to affect whether or not, you know, you can get that sound wave to travel. It's obviously, if you're going to make a wireless energy deal with tuning forks, you don't want to have this loud, obnoxious noise going everywhere, because, you know, you're not going to sell too many of those devices. It's kind of like the neighbor's dog down the street howling all day, and you won't shut up, you know? But if you could get it in the right range, I mean, you can't necessarily hear an electron vibrating, so if you could get it in the right range, you wouldn't even have to transmit it through the air. All of these, whether like your electric motor, 60 hertz, you know, that says that, you know, those electrons are vibrating at 60 hertz. Anything above that, then it'll get too hot and burn up the coils and so on and so forth. But if you could get it right exactly down to the frequency range that it actually takes to get that same current flow without having to put near as much energy into it from the get-go, you're going to have several benefits, one of which is you're not going to have the heat that you would normally get from the 60 hertz range, because those electrons ain't beating the heck out of each other trying to get down the line there. See where I'm coming from?
Why was Tesla trying it very hard to get up into 3,000 and 6,000 hertz range? That I never did understand.
Well, I'm thinking it's because at a certain point, I mean, you're talking about extreme amounts of power. You know, if it only takes 60 hertz to run an electric motor, and you go above that, you got more power than you started with at the end, because now you've actually created heat in the process.
You know, he was trying to get up into 3,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 hertz range.
But I think what he was looking for was that resonance feedback that would literally give you a lightning bolt, so to speak.
So that's what I'm tuning fork got it.
Yeah, I'm trying to use the tuning fork to, you know, run some tests, some wireless energy tests, because I think Buddy was talking about this some time back. He was talking about taking two bamboo tubes and putting them down in the water, and one guy would be upstream, and you could actually send audible sound through the stream because those two tubes were, you know, identical. They would pick each other up. So if you can send information through the stream, information through the air, and I'm thinking there's so much that could be done with this technology that it's just mind-blowing.
Sure is. I put a link into our little chat room there earlier. I'm just sticking it into Shiz's Mad Science. It's about ultrasound devices and the piezoelectric effect they create.
Ultrasonic cleaners.
You want to expand on that a little more?
All that on the ultrasonic cleaners, you used to put water and Mr. Clean in a 50-50 mixture, and it would look fluorescent green. But we throw the jewelry in into the little pan that's got that in it, and it would vibrate at ultrasonics where you can't hear it. All you hear is a little bit of a buzz. And even if you've got caked up stuff, you know, skin and stuff behind the diamonds and all that stuff, it vibrates and scrubs it all clean and makes the ring real nice and pretty. Then you go and you hit it on the fine buff wheel with rouge, put it back in there, and you get to watch all the rouge come out of it like it's smoke and little streams and stuff.
Wow.
You see the patterns in the water. And you put your finger in that solution, and you move it around, and different places it feels like it's sticking you with a pin.
Well,
and the thing is there, with sympathetic resonance also, you'll notice the same thing with your FM radio at stoplights. You'll stop and all of a sudden your reception's bad. Move forward about 1 foot, and it comes in real loud and clear. You move forward another foot, and it goes out. Your resonances go in patterns and are stronger at certain points or certain wavelengths from things that it's bouncing off around you. So it's pretty cool. You'll get cancellations and strong points where they come together.
Well, I was thinking about...
Yes, you do.
Doctor, go ahead.
Just to give you a quick rundown of the document that I put in, it's got a generation of ultrasound, and it just gives you a few bullet points on it. A transducer converts energy from one form to another. It tells you about Pierre and Jacques Curie and their piezoelectric effect from 1880. Lead zirconia titanate, or PZT, is the piezoelectric material used in nearly all medical ultrasound transducers. It is a ceramic ferroelectric crystal exhibiting a strong piezoelectric effect and can be manufactured in nearly any shape. The most common transducer shapes are the circle for single crystal transducer assemblies and the rectangle for multiple transducer assemblies, such as those found in linear and phased arrays.
Such as quartz.
Wow.
So basically what they're tuning fork.
Yeah, I mean, what they're saying is you can make a ceramic ferroelectric crystal or transducer sort of style thing in any shape you want to, really.
See, it's mind-boggling. It just goes on and on. There's, I was getting ready to talk about Dr. Royal Raymond Rifer. He was talking about using specific frequencies to go in and kill cancer cells while at the same exact time leaving all the good cells perfectly intact.
Because they don't resonate at the same frequency. You burst, you find the right frequency, you can burst the disease and leave the good cells.
Well, you know, if you look at TV, and they say life imitates art, and a lot of the technology that we see now today kind of looks a whole lot like some of the technology we've seen in some of these nifty sci-fi movies. But in one of the specific ones, like Star Trek, you know, they got this little device that they have in their hand, and they basically wave it over somebody and generates frequencies that causes bones to heal and so on and so forth. And the more I think about all this stuff, I just think that is so plausible that if the actual research was put into it, that, man, there's really not a lot you couldn't accomplish with it.
Well, according to the table of depth penetration in this article, it's like a PDF, a medical lecture PDF, at 1 megahertz frequency, you have a depth of penetration of 40 centimeters. And at 20 megahertz, you have a depth of penetration of 2 centimeters.
Wow.
It's interesting stuff. I know it's a bit nerdy, but this is mad science.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Say that again here, Steve.
Well, attenuation of ultrasound waves in tissue is the header of the actual section of this article. And at 1 megahertz frequency, you have a depth of penetration, i.e. the ultrasound waves will go 40 centimeters into tissue and then bounce back, and that's where they get their echo image from. And then a frequency of 20 megahertz, you only actually get a depth penetration of 2 centimeters.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, 1.5 gigahertz and frequency pulsed at one. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's the other way around. One gigahertz at 1.5 gigahertz pulses, which really doesn't sound, you know, like it's that many pulses of that frequency. It's like you're not getting a whole wavelength of that frequency. But by doing that and sending it, and I think it's only like 0.000023 watts. You put a little coil up towards, say, where you had a tooth that's missing. You put it there. Whether you've got a partial root or no root, it will actually grow a brand new tooth. The enamel won't be as thick. You won't have very much enamel, but the tooth will grow. And it's not as strong because it grew fast. But it's all due to stimulating the certain cells to just get active and start, and they will grow a new tooth.
Well, I want that machine, brother.
Oh, me too. I got a circuit on it. I just got to get off my wazoo and get my chicken off the couch and put it in the pot.
All I'm saying is the people of the past have been trying to tell us for some time, I believe. You know, if you go back and look in biblical references in Genesis, the whole universe was spoken into existence, a.k.a. sound and tones.
Yes.
And yeah, so to me, there's so much that could be learned from this technology, so many different advancements that could actually... I'm sure we should have been so much farther along than what we are now. They actually use ultrasound waves to, check to see what sex your baby's going to be before the baby's even born, you know? So, there's a whole lot there, man. A whole lot more than just making some noise. Don't everybody jump in the mic at once. We're going to need Muddy's tooth machine.
I was just kind of stuck on thinking about what if it's borderline between male and female, and you know it. Oh, no. Oh, come on. Bleed one way or the other.
I don't know, man.
No. So, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I know. Is this... This Slayer Exciter, to me, is almost like a radio transmitter. Tesla coil was like a radio transmitter. Everything that, all the way back to all these different alternative energy devices, they all got something in common, frequency waves.
Buddy just said something a minute ago that instantly my brain just started to smoke. You go in with this ultrasound thing and we develop... a combination of what Plenty's talking about and Shazia's talking about. You go in and check the baby and it's healthy and this, that, and other, but you're right at that stage where you don't really know if it's going to be male or female. So you change the frequency and make it whatever you want. Duh. That would be weird.
Well, you know,
might be possible.
Determining on different magnetic fields, they've actually got a lot of different patterns and sound frequencies. There's a lot of videos out there on YouTube about where they take some speakers and a signal generator, and they'll put like sand on the table or whatever, and as they vibrate this, they get some geometrical shapes that appear in there at different ranges. They're different shapes. And so, you know, there's a lot to be said that what you just said, man.
To respond to what Mo just said, that's plausible.
Yeah.
I believe it is, and it scares the Jesus out of me. So people could actually change or not change because it wasn't there to start with. You can only change something that is. But if the baby is there and at that point it has no sex, it hasn't been determined yet, and then you could make it whatever sex you want. It scares the bejesus out of me. Really.
You know,
I look at it this way. I look at trees.
Yes.
Look at a tree. I look at one tree. It looks different than the other one. While I'm looking at that tree, I'm looking at the little patterns. I'm noticing that the internodial lengths seem to be pretty continuous throughout the tree. So I'm looking at like charges attract, repel. Unlike charges attract, like charges repel. Let me get that straight.
There you go.
So here we go. We got the electrons leaving the Earth and heading up, and this tree is vibrating at a certain frequency. Well, the electrons say that the branches can't all grow together because they're all the same charge, so they spread out. But they keep reaching for the sky, and because of the frequencies and harmonics of several frequencies inside it, dictate the way that it's going to grow. Where, how many internodial lengths, how close they are, and you know what direction they shoot off from the last one.
You know what I'd be really interested
really
in seeing?
Look at them. I look at them as static fuzz balls.
I'd be really interested in seeing how the root structure of a plant and a tree, like a tree, how the root structure of a tree, how closely matched it is from top to bottom. Almost like whenever you look at a magnet through magnet paper, you see the flux lines coming around the magnet paper as a distinct pattern on both sides. I'm wondering if you took the tree, if the root structure would be pretty doggone close to the same as what it looks like at the top.
That would be an absolute negative.
No?
No, no way.
Huh.
They grow according to the nutrition needs of the tree itself, and the tree itself grows according to the nutritional needs of the roots. The tree grows toward the sunlight, it branches out to gather sunlight, the roots grow toward nutrition in the ground and moisture and water.
Cool. Well, it don't hurt to ask the questions.
Here's the thing, what's talking about. Say, for example, a corn plant, a corn stalk.
Yeah.
During a drought, you go 3, 4, 5 weeks with no water, you can go 15 feet away from any corn stalk, dig a hole in the ground, put a 5-gallon bucket in it, hack the dirt out of the bucket, fill it full of water, and put a piece of plywood over top of it. Come back 48 hours later, pull the bucket out of the hole, and it will be roots from that corn stalk going all around that bucket because it's searching for water.
Well, I think that you could learn a lot from nature.
Yes. Roots grow according to the needs of the plant, and the plant grows according to the needs of the root.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, either way, I still think there's a whole lot to this whole frequency thing, man. There's just a whole lot to be said about, Royal Raymond Rife was right, and you could literally use sound to target specific disease and destroy it without harming the cells right next to it. I believe the same thing could apply with electricity, that you could literally go in there and target specific the electron itself and get that current flow that you want without causing the damage on the other end. What do you guys think?
I think you're 100% correct.
I got some good news about frequency. You got sociopaths and psychopaths seem to be missing that same part of the brain. They can resonate and vibrate at them lower frequencies that everybody does, but they can't reach them higher frequencies. Therefore, they are very, very susceptible to Ebola.
Huh.
Well, guess who those people are, if you think about it. You know, maybe something is happening in the right ball field for a change. I do know a few things, a little bit of colloidal silver, a little bit of taking your vitamins and keeping your immune system strong. Wear gloves, go ahead. You know, and don't talk down, don't be standing downwind from a whole bunch of people. If you're going to get together, be upwind. You might make it through this. You know what I'm saying? You might make it through this. Here we got a few cases out here in Fort Worth. Dead center between me and Boomer here, Mr. Raymond By Gosh Head, Boomtown Laboratories. You know, he's up in an area and he has to meet a lot of people. Well, you know, I'll tell you this, Raymond. get you a nice fancy pair of gloves so you can shake hands.
There you go.
And heck, you could soak it in baking soda, alcohol, whatever later on. You know, get something that'll boil and not shrink. I don't care, but check yourself, guys.
The whole thing to me, if people would have listened to guys like Raymond Rife and Tesla and all that kind of stuff, we'd be so much further along. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. I mean, I feel like there's every single disease on this planet could literally be cured. And maybe that makes me sound crazy, but from everything I've learned in science and seen everywhere, you know, you can't make no money if ain't nobody sick. And so there is a reason why people wouldn't want you to come out with a miracle cure. If you look in the alternative medicine section, governments always want to say, well, you can't say this a cure or something, you know, or that they'll literally throw you in jail for it, you know.
Because it is.
Yeah.
Do not assume that because your administrative body of the country you live in control your country that they control every country.
Well,
there is a guy less than half a mile from me with an operating raw Raymond Rife frequency generator that provides treatment to people who ever want it.
Well, see, then there you go. And if there's case study right there that the doggone thing worked, then folks need to start bootlegging some of these to all nations so everyone can have access to something like that.
I don't mean to be rude to this, but there is the assumption that if something isn't available in one country, it's banned in every country.
Well, you were right for pointing that out. Just because our country leaders want to be scumbags and make the rich even richer, even though they say, oh, well, we're going to take the money from the rich and give it to the poor. You know, I don't care about all that.
It's a horrible thing to say. They're doing it for your protection.
How are they protecting me?
They need to protect you from people that might actually kill you with something helpful.
Yeah, but see, here you go, man. These guys have got the border wide open. They're sending all of our kids over to wars overseas and down. They're not even really battling anything. They're going down to Africa, right into a disease-ridden area where they should have it quarantined and helping these folks out with everything they got. Instead, you're going to send a whole lot of manpower down there right into where they're going to potentially catch a disease. I don't know where their common sense is. Their common sense went out the window along with the invention of the pogo sticks and or brass knuckles, as far as I'm concerned. Say,
common sense would dictate, if you have any sort of cure for Ebola, then you want to spread it to as many parts of the planet as possible.
Yeah.
Because that'll make you a lot of money.
If Colonial Silver would do it, then send it. You know, this whole overpopulated thing gets on my doggone nerves, man. This planet isn't overpopulated. If it got overpopulated, nature would take and balance everything out. I mean, nature always balances itself out. If you look at a water level, how they actually, when they do these, set these houses up, these modular homes, they'll have a big long hose with water in it, and whatever level it is on one end, it'll be the exact level on the other end whenever it smooths out.
Let me inject something on that water level. The person using it has to know something about a water level, because I have seen people take water levels and level something out, and it was 4 inches off.
Well, yeah, I understand. It's going to have to.
Rather than post something about the tools you're using, the slightest air bubble, I mean, so small that if you don't have 20/20 vision, you're not going to see it, will throw that level off.
Yeah, but either way, it still doesn't change the fact that nature always balances itself out. So wherever your water is in one area, on the other side, it's going to be at the same level, as long as there's nothing like, you know, the air bubble you're talking about. And the same thing applies with electricity and everything else. Nature always balances itself out. And what we're trying to do as humans is trying to capture some of that that feedback, sort of like whenever you stretch a rubber band out and it comes back and pops you in the eye or something. That's a lot of power involved there.
It is.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. If the Romans could build roads that lasted for thousands of years using bits of string and lead weights, why do we have to pay millions and billions
nowadays.
I don't know, but the roads they make around here, you're lucky if they last long enough for the guy in the truck to get down the road, because my tax dollars put those chuck holes there, so enjoy.
Yeah, I'm only joking. I mean, obviously, we have a different
infrastructure. Well, you're right, man, because over here, you spend all this money on taxes to have your roads maintained, and then you go down the doggone road that's supposedly maintained and blow a tire out from a big old giant gaping hole in the street. Somebody ain't doing their job.
I'll tell you where they ain't doing their job is when I went across the Jersey Turnpike. We had to pay to go on their road, and it was so bumpy and had so many potholes. We even saw one, if we turned a Volkswagen upside down, it would have filled it perfectly. That's where they're collecting money and not doing nothing with it. I know they got laws against that now. If you're collecting all that money, then you better be doing something with it.
Well, so, it's going to be up to the average Joe. What do y'all say we take a quick break and get some coffee?
That's a good idea.
All right,
yeah,
cool.
I'm up for a second pot.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned. We'll be back after a few tunes there.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Love a cup. I would... Oh, God, yes. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup with the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug or fine china, been hooked up to IVs, need constant supplies. And a drip for my urges might verge on perverted, prefer healthy brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain. I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The dip between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey,
yes please,
Earl Grey,
yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely Assam,
lovely
Assam,
lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. Oh, we're gone.
Go on, yes. Opera.
Yeah. I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swig amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal. Let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal.
No thanks.
Herbal.
No thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your snodding coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms pop me loving teapot to your Ponzi rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot, sodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer on 80 cups a day. I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour. My hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, love it though. I'd sell my old grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Connected.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
Will the owner of the great big butt please move it out of my face?
Name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yeah, to boldly go where no man has gone before. I think we found new life and new civilizations here on Mad Science. So, with that said, Steve, you said something about some news in the science world. People making cars out of wood?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things on various different websites, but there's one interesting one here that is a bit of Mad Science and a bit of loving the earth. Apparently up in Alaska, about 5 miles north of Point Lay, 35,000 walruses had gathered together on the beach. So what they did is, the Federal Aviation Authority, to their credit, has rerouted flights in the area to reduce the risk of a catastrophic stampede.
Wow. Now,
I don't know if anybody's ever seen a walrus, but they're quite big. And there's a lot of babies with them, so, you know, credit where credit's due. The other one was, what is it? Can't stop watching these videos of cars being fabricated out of wood. It's hard to imagine that back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, some vehicle manufacturers were building cars with wooden frames, although people didn't care too much about safety. But nowadays, with knowledge of fibers and resins, there really is no reason why we can't use fibres, such as the hemp plant, elephant grass. There's quite a few different fibrous plants where we could build resins to make all those different structures, which would be strong but also pliable. And the pliability would probably do quite well in accidents, because you could take the force of an impact and run it around the frame of the vehicle rather than having it come straight through it.
Well, believe it or not, there are a couple companies out there that literally still do make cars mostly out of wood. There's some really high-end handcrafted cars, hot rods, so to speak, that they still make out of wood frames.
Well, I mean, that to me sounds a bit like the story of the three little pigs and the lesson not quite learned yet.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know who would want to spend over $100,000 or $200,000 for a handcrafted car made out of wood, because especially if you live out in the country and you had some termite issues, I mean, eating your frame up while you're driving down a road and you're sliding down the seat on your buttocks down the street.
And if you're getting really into the real mad science, there's a headline here that just caught me in the eye. Large-scale nuclear reactor is 1.8 billion years old.
What?
The Gabon Republic in Africa is considered a rich source of uranium.
Oh.
Uranium-42. 2 years ago, a French mining company imported uranium ore from Oklo in Gabon and discovered the uranium had already been extracted. It contained 0.3% of uranium-235, whereas natural uranium contains 0.7% of uranium-235. So the question they're asking is, where has it gone? Where has the other 0.4% gone? Have people been here before?
Could very well possibly be so, unless aliens are stocking up so they can get from point A to point B. Who knows, man? You know, back onto that Slayer cider that Ryan and G. Bluer and all these different folks out there in the alternative energy community you're working with, I want to take that circuit to its maximum. I want to see how far I can take that one little circuit, because I got some ideas on that. If I can get it to be tunable like Muddy was talking about, what do you guys think? Nobody? Man.
I have an opinion on everything pretty much, Liz, but I don't know enough about Slayer Exciters.
Ah, well, maybe we need to go back to the wooden cars.
I might have to go to a version of Raymond's dual escapement, his gravity pendulum there. Not dual escapement. What's the other word for that there, Raymond? Dual stage oscillator.
Yeah. Two-stage oscillator.
Two-stage oscillator. You get that two-stage oscillator going just a little way. Put a big old coil of wire and a magnet on the pendulum. Shorten the length of the pendulum till I get 7.54 hertz, and I get a nice sine wave going into that thing with lots of power. I'd like to play with that with a Tesla coil.
Well, I remember watching some of Raymond's videos to where he had those things going, and I actually had a friend who was duplicating some of his work. So, you know, if you could actually get a lot that much lift out of just moving your finger once you got that thing started, it wouldn't take a whole lot in the electronics world to put, like, let's say, electronic finger sitting there pushing it back and forth. What do you guys think? Nobody? Well, y'all got to stop leaving me hanging, man.
I
can't afford to chip a tooth.
I've been thinking seriously about building a horizontal two-stage oscillator and putting it on a barge-type mechanism, because the two-stage oscillator is so large to actually get any genuine power out of it. It's so large, so heavy, that for an automobile or land-type transportation, it's almost useless. But to be stationary, to generate electricity, pump water, or whatever, it's a great idea. But if you want it for transportation, it almost has to be put on a boat, because in a boat, weight is balanced. So the fact that it was big and heavy would not be a hindrance. In fact, it would be a helpful part of it.
Well, Raymond, for those out there listening in who ain't got a clue what we're talking about, you want to give them some sort of explanation. It has to do something, you know, in my mind, with a lot. You know, leverage, how, you know, you can lift something really heavy if you got a long pole on a brick or whatever. You can lift a lot more than you could with your actual your actual hands. Is that close to what you're doing?
That is exactly what I would do. I could take my thumbs on a sharp corner of a quarter-inch thick piece of steel and pull it for 2 inches and lift 180 pounds 5 inches high, and do it every 1.3 seconds. And I have done it for over 2.5 hours and did not get tired, did not cut my fingers, did not wear any blisters on my fingers. And the only reason that I didn't go longer is I just plain got bored. I didn't get tired. I didn't break a sweat. In fact, there was a couple of times when I smoked. I wish I didn't, but I do. There was a couple of times when I wanted a cigarette. So I just took one hand, blew a cigarette, and I operated it with one thumb instead of two.
So, would it be plausible to put a little electric relay to do the same work that wouldn't take nearly as much energy? You know, when you're talking about lifting that much weight, there's a whole lot of downforce in there that could be used for all kinds of things, like you said, generating electricity. Would it be plausible to take that kind of device and use some sort of electric relay to actually be the finger?
Yes, absolutely. The problem you've got is a little word that a lot of people don't pay attention to called inertia. Inertia is the tendency of a body at rest to stay at rest until action is pumped by an outside force. Now, with the two-stage oscillator, each time it picks up a weight and you try to extract some of that power to actually operate the machine each and every time, then a lot of your power that you extracted goes into dark, useless inertia. So what you have to do is you almost have to let it build, and then power, a tremendous amount of power, to overcome the inertia, and then actually, you know, build your power to drive out. It's kind of hard for me to explain it, but what I'm trying to say is, it's like if you took an 8-year-old kid and a 10,000-pound boat, and the boat's about a dock, the kid's standing on the dock, and he leans against the boat with, say, 50 pounds of force. Well, the boat just sits perfectly still for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Then all of a sudden, it starts to move. That power that was put into getting the boat to move before he moved, that's power that's, it's overcoming the inertia, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And with that said, what about trying to design a way, because we were talking about how tuning forks would resonate with each other, and also was talking about how, unlike magnetic fields, that acoustic waves don't couple with each other. They just kind of bounce off of each other. So what about taking, instead of actually having a direct connection, you using some sort of acoustic wave to do work on the other side? Do you think that's plausible?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Because the tuning fork is exactly the same thing. You take one tuning fork and you strike it and it starts to vibrate. It causes another one to vibrate. But if you put a slow motion camera on it and watched it, you would see that eventually both of them will operate at the same, not just the same frequency, but the same volume. But the second tuning fork slowly builds up to that volume.
Yeah.
You understand? It's inertia. It takes inertia. And the thing, that's why I started driving the pendulum weights like you would a grandfather's clock, is because it can come down, come down, come down, come down. There is no lost inertia as the weight comes down. Each time it stops, when it drops again, there is no loss of inertia. The gravitational pull on the weight has already overcome your inertia. Once the escapement clicks and allows the weight to drop, adding power to the pendulum, there's no lost inertia. Now, as the weight comes down, when it gets down to a certain point, you have made electricity or you have stored this power on the other end. Now, all of a sudden, you're releasing some of this power. Some of it is eating up inertia one time to start the weight moving. And once the weight starts moving and going up, then it's going up. I mean, it's like that boat. Once you get it moving, you apply that same 50-pound force, and the boat starts to gain speed slowly until it gets to a point where the friction of the water against the sides of the hull of the boat are equal to the 50-pound force you're applying. At that point, as long as you apply the 50-pound force, the boat does not gain or lose speed. It travels at the exact same speed. Therefore, when the weight on the two-stage oscillator is coming down, you're building power, you're storing it. Now all of a sudden you need your weight to go up. So now you borrow a little bit of that power to overcome the inertia pull from getting it to move. Once it starts moving, then it's just maintaining that force. It takes it right back up. You can raise it up faster, much, much faster than it comes down. A two-stage oscillator right now, the wind driving it, it drops for about 25, 26 minutes, and it only takes about 1.5 minutes to get it back up to point A, and you're only using less than 10% of the power that you stored from it.
So what I'm hearing is you're not necessarily cheating any laws of physics. All you're doing is using them efficiently.
That's the thing that I'm really, really adamant about, is making daggone sure that I do not try, not even the slightest bit, cheat any laws of physics, because the laws of physics are true. It's the people that what I call naysayers, the physics book Bible thumpers that keep you in with it. See, they're the ones that irritate the heck out of me, because I don't believe you can create anything from nothing. Nothing plus nothing begets nothing. got to have something. And as far as no free energy, I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is no such thing as energy that is not free. All energy is free. It exists. You cannot destroy it. Oh, yes, you can. The thing is, the law says you cannot destroy or create energy without destroying or creating the other. In other words, you're not destroying anything. You're not creating anything. You're only changing its form.
Yeah, exactly. But the difference between the two different coils, like the Solaric side of the frequency coming out of that and the frequency coming out of your Tesla coil, it's not about, you're not doing anything except it's all in the delivery, you know. It's coming out in a different waveform. It's still energy. Sound is energy. Electricity is energy. Yeah, I keep saying, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. See, it's not the question of whether or not we can get free energy. It's a question of not whether or not we can figure out different methods of transport to use it efficiently.
Exactly. Hey,
on that point, has anybody heard of the Bosnian pyramids?
Nope. Not me.
Right. In Visoko, Bosnia, they found a valley of pyramids. Not just one, but a few of them. The largest being 220 meters high.
Wow.
It's over 6 foot high. And they've been dated from 10 to 12,000 years old. But get this. There is an ultrasound frequency generated inside the building, inside this pyramid. And it's actually being emitted from the top of the pyramid, and it gets stronger the further away you get from the source. It's a continuous emission of 28 kilohertz.
Well, anytime there's a continuous...
Just above this pyramid, there is no electromagnetic field whatsoever either.
Well, anytime you got a continuous frequency going on, you've got energy right there, man. You just need to figure out a way to turn that specific frequency into what we call electricity.
Well, Chaziz, how could they have a continuous 28 kilohertz frequency being emitted from a structure for 12,000 years?
Well, in all of the materials that we've actually got in the dirt, I mean, you got crystals of all different size, shapes, piezoelectric crystals, you got caves for acoustics and stuff like that. I'd be interested to know whether or not they're sitting on a water table or anything, because with all the motion that's going on in the world itself, I mean, just the thermoelectric portion of the earth itself, they're generating electricity right there. I mean, this is a massive thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. Not to mention the wave power, the wind power, the solar power. I mean, it just goes on. And so if they had the knowledge back then about vibrational frequencies, knowing that the Earth is resonating itself, then you could actually put something up there that would ring a bell that long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is why I'm interested in the frequencies and the tuning forks and the Slayer Exciter, is because of the fact that if you can find the right frequency to specifically target specific just either the electron or the atom itself to get that same energy release. See, there's two different deals out there. Is there an electron or is there not an electron? We don't know because we can't see that far down in inner space to see whether or not we can actually get a good picture of it. So we don't know if it's just an atom with a hollow shell with a neutron inside of it or whatever. These are just best guesses of science. But either way, when you put that frequency across there, you get an energy release. That energy release is what we call electricity. And so if you can do this without having to brute force it, if you can do it with just the frequency, then you got the holy grail of free energy. You know, you learned how to move it from point A to point B. We're not creating nor destroying. All we're doing is tapping into nature, and there's no pollution involved. What do you guys think?
I think it's great.
I do too.
I think it's going to be very difficult for a very small number of people to make an incredibly large amount of money if we get this sort of stuff working properly.
Well, and that's the key. You know, it's not about the people out there being able to fill their pockets. It's about the people out there being able to not have to be underneath the thumb of an electric company that can change their doggone prices at a whim and have you where they can just shut you off at any time, and it's either pay up or, you know, you don't have electricity. And there's a lot of third world countries out there that could benefit from electricity, not only heat wise, water purification, pumping water, whatever, you know. There shouldn't be a third world country. These nations should have access to the same technologies and at least be living in some sort of comforts instead of a mud hut.
I'd like to agree and disagree with Steve. Steve made a comment about if we or people like us succeed and you can't make money out of this. Well, I'm sorry, I disagree with that. I agree with Steve that somebody's going to try to stop you because they're going to think that you can't make money. The thing is, if we come up with an idea of using Mother Nature and the forces in nature to benefit man, we've already agreed all energy is free. The thing that costs money is the machine or the apparatus to convert it to usable energy. Somebody's got to build these machines.
Well, yeah, there's a good point there.
The current electricity that we get is by a very small group of people that control it incredibly tightly. It wasn't the fact that people could actually build devices that we could use. It would just be very difficult if we find a simple way of producing it for one small group of people to control it.
Yeah.
Those people control need to wake up, open their eyes. It is a whole entirely new source of money for them. If the rich people control the industry of energy, if they just open their eyes, they would see that they could make 15 to 20 times more money, 6 times faster, simply by re-gearing up.
Yeah, somebody's got to build it, see?
Oh, yeah. Susan was making a comment earlier on the same show about taking from the rich and giving to the poor. Well, that doesn't work. It's been tried 20 times. But Hoover did it. He took from the rich. He did not give to the poor. He took. The rich created jobs for the poor to build things the rich could use. That they were too damn cheap to take the money, excuse my French, too cheap to take the money and build it for themselves.
Yep.
Now look at Sam. Look at Skyline Drive. Look at all the parks and the recreational areas that are open to poor people and the rich. And the rich pay for it, but the poor built it with the rich people's money.
Yep.
I mean, you can take the rich and give it to the poor. It doesn't work. You take money from the rich, you create jobs for the poor to build things for the rich. And the poor get to share in it too. That's how it works.
Yeah, but
Raymond, we all know that the Hoover Dam was only built with somewhere to put Megatron.
I don't think you've watched style of movie.
Either way, it all comes down to how we're going to benefit society. And if we put this information out there for the general public, there's always going to be a way to make money because there's going to be those folks out there who are not mechanically inclined. However, I think the money we're talking about is monopoly money, such as the big power companies make because they own the power companies. Now, if your average Joe had his own power company, there's still going to be somebody needs to maintain that, you know, if there's moving parts or whatever. And so this is the difference that I'm talking about, is not where it's not all consolidated into one major corporation who has the control over who gets lights and who don't.
That's what it comes down to, is the control factor.
Yeah.
We don't need the control factor. That's what they want, but we don't necessarily need it. And if we can get on with our lives, we don't have to go out and work in crappy call centers being abused by people.
Yeah.
We don't have to sell them insurance because of this sort of culture of fear. Oh, what if your house burns down? We'll build it full of stuff that doesn't burn.
Well, and then there's always the factor in the, there's always these wars over resources. You know, I think water would be the next big resource, even though the Earth's three quarters covered in water. They always seem to figure out a way to get people in a fight over something that's in abundance. And so, you know, with that said, that doggone, I lost my train of thought. If we've come out with a alternative energy device that would basically give everybody free energy, there is no energy crisis as far as I'm concerned. It's just a matter of who wants control of what. And there's no reason for going out fighting over oil when you can burn water, for Pete's sake. And when you burn water, what do you get out the other end? Water. You ain't done nothing. You just used the energy, put it right back into nature, and that was it. You know, I feel like the same thing with fossil fuels. When you burn fossil fuels, all you get out the other side is carbon, and so you're just putting back, you know, something that was there to begin with. You know, people just don't want it in their face, which is understandable.
So, you just said a mouthful.
Yeah.
I mean, it talks about energy crisis. That is not the major issue in the world today. The absolute major issue is fresh, potable drinking water.
Yeah.
And you said, what about taking a barge, putting it in the ocean with solar panels on it? The ocean is water, don't need electrolyte. You separate the water into hydrogen and oxygen. Okay, you use solar panels to do this. You burn the hydrogen oxygen to create heat energy to do what? But you're creating fresh, potable water.
Yep.
What's the problem here? You're creating energy. Come on, man, it's so simple. You know, it's complicated, but it truly the aspect, the concept is so simple, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
First, to take the bill of Mars.
Well, guys, as fascinating as this show's been, and there's been a lot of good information out here, I'm looking forward to the match of the roundtable, but we're down to the last 4 minutes, so if anybody wants to go around real quick and give out their website or last word for everybody, now would be the time to do it. Who wants to go first?
Well, we were talking about wooden cars here.
Make it snappy with your wooden car. We got 3 minutes.
I was basically looking around. If you look up wooden vehicles rather than trucks or cars, you'll admit the models and little toys. But anything is pretty interesting stuff there. You need to check that out. Anyway, Muddy Muddy Mudman. Just spell it out, put it out on Google or anywhere, and it'll lead you to me on YouTube. That's MUDDY MUDDY MUDDMANN. And I'm done.
Thank cool. You. What about you, Steve?
Au revoir.
Ha, short and sweet. All right, well, what about you, Raymond?
All I can say is, Confucius said, the longest journey started with a single step. My saying is, you got to get off your dead duck in order to take that step. All you people out there that got ideas, do something about them.
And how, right, brother?
Move it.
Put it on paper, put it on a video, tell your friends and all that, right?
Exactly. Share your thoughts. That's what YouTube's all about. That's what this radio show is all about. It's sharing.
Well, there you go. You've heard it from the most brilliant minds in the general vicinity of mad science. And so with that said, stay tuned for the Hope Show. And I hope to see you on the Knights of the Roundtable tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. So... with that said, thanks a lot, everybody. Peace and love, and stay tuned.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Aw, crap.
Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.